CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today in studio,
hi,
Bryce Castillo.
Hey, Roberto.
How's it going?
It's going good.
It is going good. It's been a weird week for weather in Texas.
Yeah.
Especially
let's not spend too much time on weather in Texas, because we definitely just did a solid 20 minutes in the pre-show on traffic.
That's true, but like...
but it has been weird. It's been back and forth with like rain and dry.
Well, because that's what it is, because I typically work an overnight shift at my job, and because of that, you see like all the storms happen,
yeah.
And it was just like at one night it was like okay, power. You know, I told my sort of other counterparts in our city, power may go out here, and I just want to give you a heads up because it is like violently raining and like thundering and lightning, and you know, sure. All hell is breaking loose.
Yeah. Though you'd think a company like that might have backup generators or something.
We do, but we don't. I mean, again, it's more of a, like, we used to, but after... this is.
But they took them away. They repoed us.
They did some stuff, but I don't want to put... I tend to like talking about job, but it's like, it's more of a, like, I have battery backup, but I have battery backup because I have a laptop, and though it's plugged in, it still has a battery.
Yes.
So, I you know, but if the net connection goes down, it's not like anything I can do is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the thing, is that everything else. But man, yeah, it's been a bit of a week.
It has been. But it's been kind of nice this past week or two. It's been kind of nice of just like getting stuff done and getting ahead of stuff.
Well, you've been like streaming a ton, which has been interesting to see you kind of get back into that flow of things, getting back into sort of music production.
Yeah. I actually put out a new song last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
About a week ago, called Transmit, and it's up everywhere. And I streamed it. It was another song. It's like, I guess, like, it's the third song in a row where I made it on a stream basically in one night and then put it up on the stores the next day. I tweaked it a little bit. I should double check if I recorded. At some point I was also recording my music streams, and I stopped doing that because of putting them up on YouTube, and you archiving all that stuff is kind of a weird thing right now. But
yeah,
it was a real fun experience, and it was probably the most satisfying of kind of that workflow in a while.
Yeah, because it's been a while since you've gotten, like, for me, because I know you've been really busy with all the crazy production stuff. I mean, I think since the last time we talked in here, Modern Rogue now is in official full swing.
Yeah, it exists now. I don't know if it existed, but it's definitely
in more of a full swing of, like, it's being regularly released. It's being, you know, regularly posted and figured out,
right?
And then we got Scam School coming down the, you know, that you guys are doing a lot more stuff with, you know, you and Brandt are doing more. I mean, you guys have been, but you're doing more with the Bizarre Briefing.
Bizarre Briefing. We still do that once. That's just a once a month thing. That's still like a nice, fun, easy thing.
Right.
Especially with the Modern Rogue, I just like trying to book more shoots and stuff.
Yeah.
We kind of have been dipping into our reserve of like Scam School episodes and stuff, and
yeah,
and, you know, we've only shot so many Modern Rogues and stuff, so it's been a lot of shoots, and you know, you go out for a 3-4 hour shoot and then you're just exhausted.
You guys more so than me. I mean, I'm typically doing audio, so I'm not really lugging a lot of stuff, but you guys are lugging, you know, yeah, DSLRs, and though, yes, you have shoulder rigs,
it's a pretty light shoulder rig, but it's still
after 3 or 4 hours, it attacks you.
Especially part of it being in a real public setting, being around people trying to like be cognizant of like not blocking roadways and or walkways and just, you know, making sure everything comes out good, thinking of pickups and things. It's surprisingly taxing. So we've been doing a lot of shoots, but I think that this last week we didn't have anything. I think we only have one this weekend, but it's good. I think we're getting back up.
Well, and you mentioned that, like, booking, because like that's also one thing I wanted to mention. Like, you've been pretty on point booking new locations for Scam School, which is really, really good. I mean, you always are, but I'm saying like it feels like we've gone, at least as of late, to at least two new locations. And even when we're at one, we had met somebody from one of the other bars. I think
that last week, that was a friend of Jason. That was a friend of Jason's. So okay. He kind of knew him.
Okay. Well, then never mind. But even then.
Yeah, we've been trying to go to new places, you know, because, you know, there was a real long stretch there where it was a lot of handlebar.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing.
Now we haven't been there in a couple of months. Like,
which is, I think, good, because half the fun of I'd imagine half the fun for the audience beyond the trick, beyond the, you know, learn the magic. Mm-hmm. It's sort of seeing these, like, cause at least for me, when I watch Scam School when it was in San Francisco, it'll be like, hey, what's this place? Oh, that'd be cool if ever I go to San Francisco, visit that bar, or like, oh yeah, if I'm there, I'll check it out. That looks like a cool place. Or even here, seeing all the different locations, like, oh, I've never actually been there. And especially when you will, because I know you took over booking, relatively soon when you got here. I'm not sure if I say relatively.
I was helping out with some of that stuff. Yeah. Probably before I technically started with Brian full time. Just, you know, helping to find some new locations. But I'm also like, I also don't go out all that often. So
neither do I. That's
it's,
why
it's kind of a funny thing. A lot of the places that I've found were because of the South by Southwest booking, which, you know, we had to just go and see a lot of places and get touch with a lot of
people. Can you talk about that? Like, are you is that
sure.
Okay? Because, like, how is it that we got that location? Because, wow, was that a location? Like, it was a cool place.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a really cool bar.
It was at Brew Exchange on 6th. Because
I'm curious the story, because usually like, when it comes to Night Attack during South by So Wasted, every year, without fail, it's done, like, at the buzzer.
No, it's been a handlebar.
No, I'm saying, like,
I got you.
Like, scheduling like, at the buzzer.
The buzzer is not a bar we've been to.
I mean, it's just like, every time, it's just like,
well,
fuck.
And part of that is because, you know, Brian knows the people at the handlebar so well.
Of course.
And so that's usually a pretty easy booking, especially when it's just like, hey, can we just get whatever free time?
It's like, yeah, sure.
Kind of what we were aiming to get away from was a high amount of non-interested traffic. You know, the handlebar is a very hip, very popular place.
And right.
Kind of what's nice about it is it's next to 6th Street, but it's not on 6th Street. So if you want to go to a cool place that isn't surrounded by a bunch of drunk assholes and isn't filled with a bunch of drunk assholes. The handlebar is a real happening place. And so, you know, in the past at Night Attacks, it's been like, you know, our crew's been there on the rooftop, but then there's still a solid amount of people who have no
idea what the fuck's going on.
Don't care. Where by moving a little further west, on 6th Street, kind of away from Dirty Six.
From the hustle, for the hustle and bustle of typical 6th Street.
Where they've blocked off the road. Because,
right. And it's literally just a sea of people.
So by moving over there, especially during the daytime, when it's not, you know, when not every bar is packed to the gills, we ended up having kind of more of the place to ourselves. We got to move stuff around and figure the place. The owner was super, super cool with all that stuff. And that was the decision. And I guess finding that place, it was really, we were kind of I don't know, a few weeks out, we actually had a good amount of lead time on
it. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because you had known it was that place for a while, and I was like, that's what surprised me.
Well,
I mean, I was glad it happened that way, because that's how it should happen.
Right. I think we were able to announce it confirmed basically 2 weeks before the show,
yeah.
so that people could get tickets and stuff, and airline tickets, rather, and figure out accommodations, and... even then, we still had a pretty good... We were still able to tell people, hey, it's going to be one of these days. These days on this weekend.
Right.
And just part of that was, like, it not being on Brian and Justin's shoulders. You know, they always have a million other things going on.
Exactly. You know, not just sort of planning where the show's going to be, but planning the show, trying to, hook up with the Possum Posse, whoever else is going to be there, and... All the other logistic stuff, kind of having that offloaded to a single person that's done this already. That's proven himself to to do this for Scam School.
You know, it's like if I was a promoter, I would be able to pull out five of these a week, right?
Of course,
because most of this was like most of the leads I found, I got just really one night, just went downtown and just checked out a million different places, and so when. We had actually had an idea to use a different place, which was on Congress for a little while. And then we kind of made not a snap decision, but we made a decision to kind of go somewhere even a little less crowded than that. That was it. Once we made that call, we still had a whole list of candidates to choose from. So just being able to put in just a little bit of elbow grease on that where, Justin's in California, so he can only do so much from Austin. And then Brian, Brian's got three kids. And
right, exactly.
Shows,
so. No, but even having just that one person on point,
because
that's always the hard part is having that person who's on point, but one and two can speak from authority. Like, in other words, if you pick a location, you can say, "Hey, Brian, does this work?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's fine." And you can kind of you are. Hi, I'm Bryce Castillo. I'm calling on behalf of Bizarre Magic Inc. and doing whatever whatever things you need to do. Like, you can come off as way more official than say just like random schlub. Like, hey, I have some friends that want to come on by and
yeah. Though with the pitch being like, hey, please give us your space for free in the middle of the day during on the busiest weekend of your fucking year. those two pitches aren't
they're hard. Yeah,
no, I mean they're not terribly different. Like I probably look like anybody from Microsoft who's also looking to book a bar, so needing to be prim and proper or very official seeming, like I got a badge and a gun, which is what they give everybody at Microsoft. The Microsoft gun is fantastic. It folds up to save space.
It's just running Windows 10 of Internet Things. Surprisingly, it's on a RISC processor.
Yeah. It's very there. If you can get to with Scam School stuff, like the easiest thing to get bookings done quickly. Is if it's not run by a franchise or like owners or a holding company, like when you can talk, like we were at the Rusty Cannon about a month ago.
Yeah,
we'd been looking to book that for like over a week and just like a lot of strikeouts on new places,
right?
To the point where it was like it was probably 11. Like 11, maybe almost midnight the night before or two nights before. And it was actually Jason Murphy gave me a tip off on that place. And like I was just able to go in and it's this new place and the owner was there. And so I just hung out and was able to talk to him and like get it all done.
Like, what's the hardest part about like booking? Is it just finding the owner, talking to the owner and trying to?
Yeah, it's finding and especially because of the places we've been to, they know us, they know that we're not controversial and that we will bring people out and it'll be worth their time to just like have us be there buying drinks. So that's probably the hardest part is just like when there's a big, when there are a surprising amount of bars that are just owned by entire holding companies, that have no interest in like getting back to me promptly.
Of course, because they don't.
They'll take it in their own time.
Right. This is but one bar in their sea of bars across the country.
Right. And then the other thing is like sometimes just dealing with like websites and stuff. We went to a bar. I won't name just because of the nature. Well,
no, of course, yeah. No names need to be mentioned.
We went there. We've been there before, and the email address on their website was wrong. It was old. They just hadn't updated it, and that was an unfortunate thing. But also, they had a phone number on there, so I was able to call the dude the next day, and it was like, oh yeah, like when you get a person on the phone, or yeah. when you have someone's like kind of personal email, or just like a direct email with them. Like, stuff goes by a lot faster. It's, these guys don't, the website is kind of like real low priority for a bar.
Right, because ultimately that's not, as funny as it is, a website isn't, unless you're like a music booking venue site,
mm-hmm.
Like that kind of bar, like an Emo's or even Elysium or something like that, and it's just sort of those sites just kind of basically become the, here's who's playing today kind of show site. Yeah. But, in terms of like contact info or any of that, like none of that is really there because it's not really needed because, I mean, a phone number is all a patron may need. And that call can be something as, hey, I think I left my purse or wallet or bag there. Is it there? And it's like, yes, it's here. Cool.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason. Like the only time I've ever called a bar is like, hey, I think I left my bag there. Is it back there? And then like, yeah, it's here. Cool. Yeah. And then go back, pick it up.
So yeah, so that's booking. It's stressful because you have to deal with people who like you are very low priority to them. But if you have enough time, it's not too bad.
Well, because that's why it was interesting about the Brew Exchange because it was on 6, and granted, yes, it's on West 6, a little bit further off.
Sure.
But it's still a kind of cool venue. The idea of like having beer prices sort of as like stock prices. I was like, that's kind of intriguing.
Yeah, that's a fun little thing. Where
it was interesting.
It's like a supply and demand sort of thing for the good idea is like it's for their kind of specialty stuff.
Right.
Like the staples are like pretty set price.
Yeah, no, I'd imagine so. But it's interesting. It was a cool kind of venue because I wasn't sure what to expect because we'd never flown the Scam School there. We'd never really done anything there. So, and much like you, I don't really go out either.
Yeah, though I had been there. I'd sat in there and had a drink that night that I was looking at places, and then I took Travis there so he could check
his
internet stuff.
Which yeah,
but it's it's a nice little place, and ended up being very very good.
No, yeah, but yeah, cause I don't think I don't think you and I have talked about Night Attack, South by So Wasted personally on the production side. I'm certain you and Brandt have. Did it?
I mean, yeah.
You and Bryce, you, Bryce, and Bryce second.
Me, myself, and I. Yeah,
right. And then Brandt came along and was like, "Why are there three Bryces here?"
Right.
My nightmare is real.
I did a live stream, the night after, or so, putting together the multicam edit.
Yeah.
On it, it ended up good. It ended up really good, especially this podcast.
It's a podcast. No, I know. But like, that might have been my, like, for me, and I think I've said it before, but I'll say it again. That was my most stressful live sound.
Yeah.
I mean, only because.
And I it did not help that you ended up doing double what I thought you would have had to do.
Right.
But with Pasta Bossy getting there at a certain time, having like them setting up for 20 minutes and then having to like reset up in a different location.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of stuff like that. So like you really did a good job with the time constraint that was going on. But definitely it's the kind of thing where if like we had another 30 minutes or so.
Oh yeah. I could have worked out a few more kinks, but it was so funny because after it was all done, like I went home because everyone was like, let's go party. I'm like, I'm going to go get some sleep.
Did you have to work that night?
No,
is that why
no,
you didn't go?
It was, I had to work that night. Like I was off I only had to work one night that week and it was a Tuesday night. I had to work.
Mm.
But for me,
come out with us.
This wasn't really like not wanting to hang out. It was me going, I definitely need to just, after usually a not even a night of like stressful things, it was out of all the things I've done live audio wise, that might have been my most proudest moment.
Yeah.
Because it was, it first and foremost, tested a skill that I'd never really thought I even had. Mm-hmm. The idea of like mixing, like completely mixing on the fly.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just writing levels, you know, that like I never thought I'd ever have that ability of like, maybe I could work a board. Maybe I could figure this shit out.
Oh, I mean, you absolutely can. Well, like, obviously you can. But
yeah,
like even ahead of time, I would have totally been told you just like, yeah, you can run a board. Like, it's surprisingly simple.
No. Yeah. Just I never had done.
It's kind of like it's kind of like Brian's magic show. I went and did his helped with the.
Oh, that's
my
right.
First full.
That's right.
Brian's
You've done
magic
it before.
Show.
That's right.
This was a couple months ago, I guess. And I was kind of worried because I just like I get a little I want to know what I got to do.
Yeah.
Especially like it's his show. I'm on stage. I don't want to.
You don't
want to
fuck up on stage.
And the toughest part of it is just getting it set up. Like you only have so much time to set up, and you have to be very particular about everything. But like, once the show's starting, it's on a track, man. All you got to do is take shit off the stage.
And that's true.
It's like in that frame, like there's a parallel there between that.
Oh yeah, once I got through all of the tech issues, mm-hmm. And there was even some new ones that got introduced as the show went on. And again, not because of anything sure. bad, just because. Night Attack is that show by nature, I say haphazard meaning that like by like oh you know Owen's in town, Owen come up on stage, you know, and it's sure. like we didn't plan to have a fourth mic happen, which is not because we didn't plan, we didn't know that was gonna be there, and it's totally cool that it happened. Like I like the fact that you know Odakta was on because it was good to see Owen. I'd not seen him in like a long time. And I was like really happy to see Owen in general. But I was like, okay, well now I got to, you know, get another mic going in here or that kind of thing. And it was just, for me, it was stressful, but in the end, like when I was done with it and I kind of got home and sort of decompressed, it was like, wow, I actually did that. I actually sort of did this really crazy live monitoring thing. And at the same time, like mixing a band in one channel and, you know, because I've heard the recording and the video and it turned out like, you're absolutely right. It turned out great. I mean, you guys got amazing shots as you typically do.
It was great. Like Brant's always like, I don't know. Brant's great. Brant does a real good job with all the visual elements of everything.
No, you both do, but it was very, again, because it was it's a weird one because, you know, typically Night Attack, you know, you're behind, you know, a board, you're behind a mixing console, if you will.
Sure.
You know? I mean, you're behind like, again,
little one,
the giant computer with, you're switching cameras.
Yeah, the
like
big
that.
The switching station.
Right. You know, you're that. Whereas in this time go around, you know, it's more kind of like a scam school shoot, granted, where you're kind of filming and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But unlike a scam school shoot, you know, you can't, you know, you're not able to say, hey, can we do that again? And, you know, here's a little bit peeling the curtain back.
Sure. But also it's a Night Attack.
That's true.
Like that doesn't happen on a Night Attack. Like we had things in place. To like if you think about the video production we did this year compared to last year with the live concert at Handlebar,
this was
a big, we had a third camera, a wide camera basically, which is basically a safeguard sort of for us, so when weird stuff happens or if we can't catch something we have a little bit of extra coverage, and that was the most important thing. In fact, I wasn't sure how much I would need to be a set of hands during the show. So there was a point before the show where I wasn't 100% sure if I would even have a camera on me or not. But I knew the most important thing was to have a lockdown shot, and then to be able to have Brant do, you know, a shoulder was also really nice. Because like with Dragon Con and Nerdtacular, we only had the lockdown shot,
right?
And then at Dragon Con we had a lockdown and a shoulder, and that seemed to be like the right amount of coverage for kind of something live and fast.
Yeah,
but with as big as South By was, and by having the music component, having that third camera, the second shoulder. was also like really, really helpful.
Well, because I think the biggest change from years past, at least for South by So Wasted versus now, is that it was a full proper episode of Night Attack. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
Like years past, it's never really been, it's always been like,
it's just been a party.
Yeah, it's been a party and everything else. So this time go around, it was actually a legit, you know, episode where, yeah. where, you know, you had a guest, you had this and that and
bits. We had bits planned.
Bits, yeah, everything planned. Yeah.
I went out and bought $113 worth of, of shit for the challenge.
What is the things bit. That, okay. So
here's some things I bought. A dog collar. I don't have a dog. A can of wasabi peas and a can of spicy wasabi peas.
I don't even have wasabi peas.
I think I gave them away because I wasn't going to eat them.
At the car, probably what do you do with wasabi peas?
Except three or four different types of spicy sauce, hot sauces and spicy stuff. A mortar and pestle.
What the hell were you going to grind?
The wasabi peas. They were going to, one of them was to snort wasabi peas. So the night before I ground up some wasabi peas
and a pestle mortar.
I bought actual wasabi.
Well, on the flip side, now you can make really, really good guacamole.
With wasabi?
No, with the pestle mortar.
Oh, sure. Maybe. It's not a rock. It's just wood.
Okay. Maybe not.
Almost empty pack of powdered donuts, a chocolate pie that Odakta stole and ate the night of the show.
I mean, what else are you gonna do with it?
Okay, it's funny because I watched him steal my pie, and I thought, this motherfucker is stealing my pie right now. What does he think he's gonna do with it? And the most upsetting thing to me was that he would like. Take it out of the bar or eat it somewhere else. But no, they went and got forks and ate it at the bar and shared it with Tay Allen and her crew of ladies.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, at least someone's eating it right now. Like I think it would be more riding me dirty if you just like, no, this is going to my fridge now. Bye.
Yeah, at least it's being consumed at this moment. Brant in the chat room says, yo, did someone say guac?
Yeah, guacawag. The other things that I bought, I bought a little tube of hair gel that got that last minute they called an audible on because the bit was that you'd have to use the whole gel. This is about this big.
Yeah,
it's almost it's like double a travel size little thing. You'd have to use the whole thing in your hair and put it all in your hair in 30 seconds. Which, like, granted, Brian is known for having a very gelled.
Old look with the spikes. It might have been great to see it
again.
But also,
that takes him 11, 12 minutes to do. I bought the infamous sriracha.
Correct.
Which got picked up by someone. Someone in Diamond Club took it because I didn't want to keep it. Or I'm sorry. It was a good souvenir for...
it's okay. It's all right. As a person that has, over the years, gathered a few... chat room artifacts. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the ones I wouldn't even put in the collection per se.
I also think they might have loved it at Steampunk. We went to Steampunk right after, and I think they loved it there. Not sure. I kind of got White Girl Wasted.
You
not long into that night. did I buy anything else wacky? I just like I the night before, like everybody was trying to ask me out that the night before. Yeah, but I was in Walmart and making lists and cutting shit up.
Yeah, because you're getting shit
ready. I was getting ready.
Ready
for that bit, right. Which went on maybe a tenth of as long as I thought it would. oh, jeez. Yeah, I think... But yeah, I was just in Walmart just like, I don't know. Do I need... I'm going to need... I guess I should get Sharpies and like notepads and stuff, but also like weird food. Oh, do I need this?
Here's the question I'm going to ask. Okay. When you went into Walmart, did you already have the challenges in mind?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't print it out.
Okay. So you knew what you needed, what challenges you had and what you needed to buy. Like, you didn't go in there and say like, all right, I have a template in my head. I don't know what fits there.
No, because most of them were submitted by ChatRealm.
Okay.
So I had them.
So you already, you got to weed through it and figure, okay, that's good. Yeah. I was worried just the idea of like, I'm in Walmart.
No.
Where the fuck do I find...
So, some stuff I did add on because of stuff I found in Walmart. Like the powdered donuts, there was going to be like, you got to eat a little sleeve of powdered donuts in 30 seconds or something. I don't know. you know, so it's got to be beatable.
No, for sure.
So yeah, they, you know, I had fun with it, but it also took a while, and I got real anxious because I had a million people in a group me just being like, oh man, we're having such fun. Going, God, oh man, we're seeing Ludacris right now. Ooh,
that
look
is
at us.
I love that group me. I love it. And what's funny about group me, that application is I always forget I have it installed until South by.
Yeah.
Because that's really the only time I ever use it.
We have like an Austin group.
Yeah, we do.
And
we do now.
Died down now
yeah,
that
we do
South
now. We at least have it and it is used. But like before, it was just, it never got any use because we all either slacked each other or text each other or DM'd whatever.
Yeah.
But the minute it was like South by, it's like, hey, everybody, get the group me. I go, oh, wait, that's right. I already like, I get a message. I go, why the fuck am I getting a group? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Everyone else is now on there. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It was a weird thing because like, I'd forgotten I was still admin on the channel and people were asking me, hey, what's the link to this so I can put it on the, you know, the Reddit, the subreddit for Diamond Club and whatnot. I was like, oh shoot, I'm still, you know, here you go, and that kind of thing, because I had forgotten that we had set that up, like, I'd like to say the first South by So Wasted. It had to be the first time we had that, when Diamond Club kind of became more of a thing and people started coming downtown and such. But yeah, that was a fun thing. What is good. your fondest memory from South by this past year?
It was definitely like the after party of the Night Attack show. Like, besides just being like a humongous, like, relief of just like the show's over and it went really, really well. And now I can start drinking. And it was great. Curtis LaRock, I'm putting you on blast a little bit. Pumping me full of drinks that night, to the point where we went to a restaurant, and I still don't remember what it's called. I don't remember where it is. I just remember like we were in Steampunk.
Yeah.
I'd gotten a lobster roll at the food truck place.
Right.
Good lobster rolls. For some reason, we leave. Then I remember walking to this restaurant. I don't remember walking in. I do remember sitting down and feeling like, it was real hot. It was real hot in there. I think they had like a fireplace or something. And then leaving and being surprised at where we were in relation to everything. Because I just at some point stuff was happening around me. And it was a lot of fun. And getting to see everybody was a real blast. Because, you know, there are only so many opportunities to get to see everybody face to face.
I think for me it was fun was, and not because I don't like, I love all the South by events. I mean, I love all the chat room events. They're always fun and a blast. This is not any slight of that. But I always like to at least expose Diamond Club members to the other side of things sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think like my fondest memory is like I got to take Curtis and I forgot who else was part of that group. It was Swagger and that whole kind of crew that was there staying at Patrick's place. I got to drag them with me to go see Chiptunes concert there at one of the bars here. Actually, technically a brewery, and they had a complete blast. Not just because of music, but like they actually talked to the brewmeister and kind of had like a lot of free beer, from what I understand.
Oh, cool!
And they just got to learn about things, and they had a blast and a half. And it was like it was cool for me to drag them here.
Yeah,
and not because you know, because they've been going downtown all the time. I was like, you know, I'm going to go to this thing. If anyone wants to come, feel free to come. Like, yeah, we have nothing better to do.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was who was still in town. I think it was Petey. But we went to the Nerdcore show, and I had a real good time. Was that? No, that wasn't the night of the J-pop show I went to. But it was a real good time, and Megaran was there, and he was like,
yeah,
he was awesome. I hadn't listened to his music before, but like,
especially was that your first live Megaran show?
Any Megaran music I had.
Oh wow! As long as you know me, I've yet to. Remind me to get you down that pipeline, sir.
I mean, I've already okay.
I'm saying is Megaran is but a taste of like that side of hip hop that you need to kind of go down.
Sure. But it was a real good time, and you know, when people are in town, it's a real good chance to go out and do a lot of fun stuff. And then you put it on top of South by, which has got good shows and stuff, and you know.
Well, it's fun. Like for me, you know, South by has become very slowly but surely a time when people that I don't get to see coming in town, mm-hmm. like every year, I have a friend in Germany, Akam, who I met literally I met at the Apple. This is how far back it was. I met him at the Apple event, like when Apple was, I think they were releasing one of the iPhones that year, mm-hmm. and they have like a pop-up store at during South by, like downtown, and it was when Brian and I'd like to say Sarah Lane were covering it for Twit.
Mm.
That's how far back it was.
Yeah,
very long ago. And Occam, it was sort of a fan of that, and we started chit-chatting. And I think I had a badge, he had a badge, so we kind of hung out a lot. And then every year he's come since, and every year we at least, if nothing more, we at least catch up.
That's nice.
We grab a drink or something like that. And that's sort of become a, you know, one of the guys I only see during South by. And then, you know, the Japan night, I realized like this past year just was like, man, I only see you guys each year here. And in a good kind of way, but it becomes like, it's like, you know, kind of seeing your extended family, for lack of better words,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And then South by So Wasted, you see, you know, same people, and PD comes downtown all the time. So it's kind of, it's fun for me for that. That's kind of why I look forward to South by in general, is that I get to see a lot of people that I don't really get to see throughout the year.
Yeah.
You know,
and Demon 5 got to see South by this year.
That was cool too. I was really glad I got
He's always gotten burnt trying to get into the handlebar.
Yeah. James James, I forget what James's last name is. I mean, Demon 5, but I forget his real last name.
Durek?
Yeah, something like that. I'll have to ask him later on. I always forget James' last name.
Because
I always see him at South by. I always see him at least once or twice, because usually gaming happens,
right.
And I'm downtown. I'm in the thing,
right.
And James' like, well, I'm already here too. It's like, well, come along. Let's go kind of get together, and we you know, go talk to developers and mm-hmm. pick at games and criticize, you know, all the mobile MOBAs that come out.
I'm trying to remember South by Gaming this year was
huge. You didn't like it? Because I loved it.
It was bigger, right? Because like it was in the convention center.
Yeah,
which
I got an email from South by. The turnout mm-hmm. was like way fucking higher than it's ever been.
Well, I mean, they also like actually tried to do anything with it this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like there's some cool stuff, but then at some point you go to like I was at PAX South,
yeah.
which is before South by, and it's like, oh, I've seen some of this stuff before. Oh, there's Geico trying to be.
Oh yeah, no,
that game.
Like for
here's a company that I legitimately could not. Like I was in line trying to see a VR thing. I was like, I have no idea what this company.
Oh yeah, no, I always avoid those things at any of the conventions I go to.
Okay.
For me, a lot of times, what I treat any of the gaming conventions, whether it be PAX South, whether it be South by Gaming, RTX, whatever,
mm-hmm.
I always go to at least the developer booths and try to chit chat with those guys and stuff. Like I honestly hadn't had a chance to buy like read only memories, even though I know it's been out for like
a
while. And I was like, I know I'm gonna buy it. I know I'm gonna like it anyways, but just hadn't gotten around to it. So I was like, you know what? Let me go to their booth because I saw it there. I saw the game. Mm-hmm. Minute I clicked it on, started playing. I stopped, not because I didn't want to play it anymore, because I'm buying this. Like this is already hitting everything it needed to hit. Like in about a brief moment of just like that glimpse. But then it's the other kind of cool games, other things like that. For me, that's my interaction.
Sure.
I always avoid like the giant.
Well,
you know,
I mean, yeah,
storm.
But like even as far as like the indie developers, I just like wasn't even as interested in what they had to show. Honestly, like, you know, I didn't have a bag and I couldn't. Get a bag. Getting a bag at PAX South at some point just became this Herculean effort of like, there are no bags.
I gave up. I didn't even get a bag, so I don't even think I did.
I was just emptying my pockets, getting ready to go see Richard's panel, and I was just like, none of this stuff was great. Like, some of it looked fine, but, you know, I only got a chance to look at it or not really play it or something.
Yeah.
So in that regard, it was kind of a little, by being a bigger show, it was kind of a little more disappointing.
For me, I had gone, I think the first day this time go around was it Thursday, I'd like to say, or was it Friday?
With us?
No, with South. Because I went on my own. That's what I think maybe that's the difference, is that like because I went on my own,
mm-hmm.
and kind of just explored, you know, during like the dead time. Because that's sort of the thing you have to, like, with South by Gaming that I always do is I usually go, the first day I try to go basically a day that's not the weekend. Because the weekend is just, you know, swamp with people.
Sure.
And I had went during that time, so I got to really chit-chat with people and really kind of talk with that because no one was getting swamped for anything. And because I knew kind of where I wanted to go and kind of see something, like, you know, something catches my eye. Like, and much like you, not a whole lot caught my eye. Because, again, I'd seen a lot of stuff. Like, oh, they're super hot. Yeah, I know that game.
Yeah.
But I'd see this song.
Yeah, well, very weird for super hot to be there. That seemed like a weird.
Well, they had a, you know, it's super hot. Super hot.
Super hot's great. And I guess it had just launched, but I think.
I
don't know. But also, I'm not super hot on super hot. So.
Yeah. There's even then, like, there's, like, for me, if I say, like, out of all the gaming conventions I go to that I really look forward to, it's Fantastic Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the one I truly look forward to. Like,
I think I missed last year.
I like, that's the one, like, out of all of them, that's the one I look super forward to. And I will not, under any circumstance, at least miss, like, I'll at least go at least one day.
So that's one of those things where, like, that was fun going, was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Going to see the big Push Me, Pull You tournament and playing some of those games. But I legitimately just don't know when it is.
Usually, whenever Fantastic Arcade, whenever Fantastic Fest happens, it's usually then.
But I don't know when that is. I will
let you know this year, so okay. You can come. Because again, for me, like, this year is cool for me for gaming because since I worked it, I recorded our friend Richard Cook's panel.
Oh, he had a panel there at Fantastic Arcade.
No, sorry. At PAX. Right. Sorry, PAX, not PAX. Well, yes, he had one at PAX, but he also had one South by Gaming.
Oh, right. Sorry,
South by Gaming. I got to actually meet Rami from Vlambeer finally and actually kind of chit-chat with him, which was sort of a weird thing to do because he's one of those developers that I kind of look to as like, okay, this is a guy I agree with, you know, unprofessionally and personally and stuff like that. And kind of hearing him finally talk for the first time, like on a panel, because I'd always hear he did a panel and I'd be like, did you record it? It's like, no, we couldn't. I'm just like, sucks, because I would have loved to hear, you know, kind of, you know, hear his opinion on certain things and kind of how he kind of went through this whole thing, kind of hearing him chit chat about how he approaches dev and that kind of thing was really cool and having a chance to sort of, again, just see him off the cuff for a while. I mean, I usually did at Fantastic Arcade, but I never would like, hi, it's a pleasure to meet you finally kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
But that was a good panel. Richard got some real good guests on that. I think that was very cool.
Yeah, no, and I actually got to hang out with a lot of those guys beforehand, like Jay Tholum, the guy that made Dropsy.
Right.
He literally crashed here at my place, so I got to kind of chit-chat with him. He's actually a really cool guy. Like, I'm probably going to try to... I know he's moving to Germany, so once he's done with that, I'm probably going to try to get him on the show because, like, we were talking about adventure games and, like, classic video game stuff like that and just sort of everything. It turned out like we had like the exact same interests of things and we're just sort of completely talk like while Richard's working on something, like we're just kind of chit-chatting. It was just this really fun moment of things like that. I want to jealous. I want to talk to him more, I guess, either Rami or Jay, because they're both really awesome people. But but even then, like, I think this year it was definitely like a lot really fun. I mean, South by in general, like going South by Create was, you know, I talked about that last week where I'm like, I'm now getting into soldering and shit like that. And that's totally different for me.
Yeah. You made that little light up badge.
Yeah.
Right. That was fun.
Yeah. It was definitely a fun year. It was stressful to a certain degree, but I am looking forward to next year. They've already put the dates up, by the way, for South by.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It's 10th through the 17th.
I mean,
March.
it's like a national holiday. Like, they've got them planned out for the next couple of years.
Well, because I learned this actually at Japan Night, because we got to chit chat with one of the South by people who were there. Apparently, they have like the prices set for the venues like months in advance.
Yeah.
Which I never. I
mean, like the ticket price, the door prices?
Like door prices, which I never thought of. They apparently.
I mean, like. Probably not that hard to figure that out.
Probably not, but it's interesting that this year also was interesting. They put it as card only.
Card only, which was nice.
Yeah, it was definitely a different shift of things. Even though technically,
because I think last year it was up to the venues to collect, whereas this year they had South by people with iPads and stuff.
Right. Well, no. Well, typically, what it was is that the way it's always been done, and this is when everyone asks. I've gotten so used to saying this for Japan Night. Basically, the venues don't know the price. The people who's throwing the event don't know the price. South by now I know South by knows the price months in advance, but they'll only declare it when it's like, all right, people, boom, $20 or boom, $15 or boom, $5.
Sure.
And they will collect cash and then take the cash and count it. Now, I guess, because to save on time, money, and hassle on counting money, they've now since, you know, switched to Square readers and stuff like that, which I think makes a heck of a lot more sense, yeah, especially for that kind of stuff. We're almost out of time. We're pretty much at the hour mark, at least. So I guess I got to ask one final question.
Okay.
How do you want to improve next South By? How do you want to make South By So Wasted bigger, better, and more awesomer next year? What is it that you didn't do this year that you've learned that'll help you in the battle next year?
I think
there's going to be next year, first and foremost, probably.
For me, it would probably be getting stuff nailed down even a little sooner still, seeing if we can get more of a theater space, even if it's small. Like the upcoming San Francisco show is like a theater bar sort of mixed thing.
That's going to be an interesting one. Are you flying out?
Not 100%.
Okay.
Like, I'm sure everybody would love to see me there.
Sure.
And I know I think it sounds like the guys could probably handle it if I wasn't. So it's kind of a money and time thing.
Yeah. Like, I know I'm actually going on vacation, either around that time or after that time, where it's like, I'm actually going to Mexico for a wedding.
Yeah.
And then Japan's in September, but I'll talk about that as I get closer to that when it happens. But because of that, man, and I would love to go to San Francisco and check out the show. I'm glad that they're starting to go out to more live stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think half the problem sometimes when it comes to having a show here in Austin is that a lot of people, you know, I mean, you know, I love Austin. Austin's a great town, and I love when people visit, but
fuck it.
What I'm saying is that, you know, it's not everybody can easily get to Austin, you know, and there's people who can maybe a little bit easier get to San Francisco. I'm just in general, in terms of cost.
You can't hear it, but I've made a little bit of a weird face in response to that. Like, I don't know about that. I mean, we got airports and roads.
No, when I say easily, I don't mean that it's not easy to fly in here. Of course, it is. It's more of it might be out of a cost range to fly to Austin at that certain time.
You think?
Well, potentially. I mean, during that time, especially during South By, that's when they, like, you know, after researching flights for Japan, I've learned the seasons of Japan. And like, let me tell you, during August and during Golden Week, the prices go from like, $1,500 to, you know, maybe under $1,000 to like $2,000 for a standard economy flight.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine what they do domestically on American Airlines or anybody to fly in here. Not impossible. Again, not out of the realm of impossibility.
But also, like, San Francisco, you know, is kind of an expensive place.
No, for sure. But I'm saying, like, let's say, for example, you lived in, I don't know, Northern California or something. Like, it's easier to take a long drive. I don't know. I'm just.
Yes.
I'm making the idea that.
I lived on the West Coast and I came to South By last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, but that's because this is like your exploration, you know, to like, well, I'm thinking of moving here.
Sure. Well, I mean, that order of events. Is that right? Anyway,
it was enough of that was a life changing moment for you to say that no matter compel or high water, I'm coming down to this town.
Sure. We don't need to.
We've already talked about that. There's an episode of that one.
There are like four.
Yeah. but So different venue, a bigger venue potentially, or something more suited for this kind of thing.
Something where we can give people a little more heads up, and somewhere that's, you know, the kind of roughest thing with the live show was the lighting, just with the backlight was kind of rough and it wasn't as cloudy as it was the day before. But being in a more controlled space and just like being able to just have a little more safer bets with some of that stuff.
Because I wish if I were to change anything for me, it would be just more setup time.
But also you were helping set up the band.
Right. Like, and that's, when I say like setup time, I mean more of a time to sound check, really. Uh-huh. And that's all. Like, cause I set up, we got done pretty well.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, we had an idea and then we put the mixer there and it was like, well, the mixer's busted.
Mm.
Well, shit, now I got to rewire everything. And not in a bad way. Just, we didn't know, you know, we had no idea what was going to happen. And it's more of a, like, I wish I had had a little bit more time to have done a better sound check at times. Not saying it didn't turn out well because I rode the levels, but I wish I could have just gotten a lot of my kinks worked out. Cause I had actually fucked up there by accident there. Like, you know what the band was like, we can't hear the monitors. That was my fault. And I didn't want to say
no,
because I had tweaked the wrong knob because I was learning their board still about,
I mean, every band asks for more monitor.
Yeah, it was okay.
You're
it
good.
Was a, it was a fun night. Again, lessons learned. I'm definitely looking forward to, I wouldn't have changed it. Would have, could have, should have, but it'll definitely be an interesting thing to do next year. I think it'll be,
yeah, it'll be
yeah. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad that it turned out that my help was needed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, we probably need to do the year before too. Also,
yeah. It's okay. We live and learn and such. Bryce, as always.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on the show. Where can people find your work online? Where can people hear either all the tales, music, and all that stuff we talked about today?
Yeah, I got links to everything at neshcom.com. I'm working on a new project. Man, we didn't get a chance to talk about this very much.
We'll talk about the post show.
It's a playlist project called That Sounds Cool.
Yeah, I've actually been seeing that.
Just go to the website, thatsounds.cool. Apple Music and Spotify playlist. Basically, I don't know if we talked about this on this show, but like, I'm dipping my, like, I'm kind of having some of my first experiences using streaming music services.
Yeah.
With Apple Music, and it's been really great just like finding a bunch of new stuff that I like.
Yeah.
And so every week or two, I'm just going to put out a list of like new stuff that I find, new to me, I guess.
Yeah. It was kind of fun when you had put your list up and I'm like, oh, hey, RNDM. Cool. Glad he's listened to that.
Oh, right. There was like an alpha list.
Yeah. I was like, I saw Mega Ran on there. I was like, oh, cool. RNDM.
And so like, it's kind of a mixture of stuff. I'm trying to find a good, you know, a concoction of like beats and hip hop stuff and rap and alternative and rock and pop stuff and dance and trying to make it a cool stuff, like a list of like stuff that I will actually listen to.
Yeah.
So there are already two out, and then there's going to be a new one on Monday. And so yeah, check it out. And then there's an email list component to it. So you sign up and you'll get an email of like,
oh shit, I did not know that.
Of like, hey, check out, you know, here are four like really cool things off of this, and I write a little bit about it.
Because the cool thing about, I mean, the one thing I don't necessarily like about Apple Music, mm-hmm. is that it doesn't seem to promote user curation as much as like Spotify does.
No, it doesn't. Like the sharing tools are there.
Yeah.
But there's no collaborative element yet.
Yeah.
There's no way to find people.
Yes.
Playlists. So that's kind of in response a little bit to that.
Yeah. And then
Spotify is because everybody was asking for Spotify.
Right. Well, no. Well, Spotify has that.
Like, well, I mean, on my thing.
Yeah, but that's still cool because I think that there needs to be more user curate. I mean, not say that the curators of beats and whatnot don't do a great job.
Yeah,
it's just
they
like,
do. It's but it's they're trying to fill like lots of like workouts.
Exactly.
Party,
yeah.
Whatever, party, whatever, sleep time. Where this is just a little more general.
Yeah.
And just like, you know, cause I play like a lot of music on the streams and stuff, and people just ask about it. No, people ask about it, and you know, this is kind of a way to,
they want to know, they want to know what the hell they're listening to. Cause again, they're like, I like that. Like for me, and for a long time, that'd be my thing. I'm like, what the fuck is Brian listening to? And I'd have to look it up like every time because it's such a really cool thing. And
also on neshcom.com, you can get, my stream friendly playlist. So it's the playlist that I use when we're doing any of the streams where the pre-show gets recorded.
Yeah.
So basically not Chord Killers. But it's stuff that like generally goes through Content ID well enough. Like if it picks it up, it'll usually pick it up because it's a thing, but it won't monetize. It'll take your monetization, but it won't
take a strike. Takedown.
You won't get a strike.
Right.
Like I think some of them, it'll get blocked in Germany, but that's all at neshcom.com. That sounds not cool. awesome stuff. And on Twitter and Twitch, Broadcast, BRYCS.
There you go. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404 there in the chat room. Of course, if you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, head to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. We're actually on now every service, I think, out there. We're on iTunes.
Are you in Google yet?
Yeah.
Google Playlist?
Yeah, we just I just got the Google Play Music. We're up on there. A-okay, fine.
Yeah.
Do
you know a stupid thing?
What's that?
The Google Play service doesn't do video podcasts.
They don't?
T2 was saying this the other day, that they don't support video podcasts.
Interesting.
What the fuck? What the fuck, Google? Fucking what?
So if you want to hear a podcast that is, however, on Google Play Music, unlike some other video podcasts on this little thing, head over there. You can look it up there, of course. That works on iTunes, everything else. And you can hit us up on Twitter at 8BitLifePodcast. And if you are so willing to, if you've bought all the music that Bryce is telling you to buy on all the things, head over to patreon.com/8BitLife. And of course, if you could do me a huge solid and you haven't done so already, please do so. Head over to thepodcastawards.com and go ahead and nominate my so-called 8-Bit Life under the entertainment section, because damn it, I paid that $10 and I'm going to try at least get the worth of it. That is how I'm viewing it.
Okay.
The 10, 10.
You don't want to go for people's choice?
I mean, I'll go for whatever.
Try to get on the party line.
I'll take whatever. If you think that I belong in mature, by all means, nominate me there. If you think I belong in entertainment,
I don't think you belong in mature. This is not a mature. Like, this is like an explicit show, but I wouldn't say it's a mature show.
Yeah, again, I never know where the funny
it
thing
would
about
be entertainment.
Yeah,
probably.
The funny thing about this podcast is that because there's nothing that says there's no section for like conversational or interview or whatever.
Well, they just changed it to match the iTunes list. So
yeah.
Basically, whatever you're in iTunes,
which technically is comedy, because I don't think there's entertainment. Because entertainment always to me, like maybe I may have to change it to entertainment. I don't know where I belong. There's no like catch all end all be all section.
Sure,
comedy is that. So that's it for today. Until next time, when I talk about the geek busting completely and utterly random. Bye, people. This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.